So by August 17th, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently around here. And we're starting with some sprinkling here where you're going to see me in the local hour. Stugatz is going to be in and out, allegedly, if we pay him correctly. And his life is somehow less filled with lies than it presently is. So I am going to talk to the shipping container here about what it is that is going on with the Miami Heat and the Marlins, because the Marlins went again yesterday. I feel so bad for Orioles fans. I really do. Like, I mean, the idea that you would get swept by, you know, 18 people who are in uniform who nobody knows because the disabled list is filled with disease. The idea that you would get swept by that team is something I want to explore. And also, though, what happened with the Miami Heat yesterday, where I saw all of you did this pivot, and it was funny to watch, which was, oh, we got Milwaukee. Look, Milwaukee's scared of us. They might have a player that's better than any one player than we have, and Middleton is kind of great too, and they're kind of historically great this season, but we're up 23, and we don't have Jimmy, and we don't have Gorin, and holy shit, what that guy just did from the three-point line where he spins and he dunks, that's going to look good in a Heat uniform next year after we get bounced from the playoffs by this team, because they scored like the last 400 points of that game unanswered. And tell me you've ever, any of you have ever seen what Antetokounmpo can do. Ben Simmons can cave in a defense. He does the spin move damn near from the three-point line and is dunking. Like, that's an evolution of basketball with, by the way, people as giant as like Jay Crowder, who's not easy to get past, just like a fart in the wind in his wake as he's dunking at the rim.
When Giannis has full speed coming down the court, it takes four guys in the paint standing there waiting for him to, like, or else he's going straight to the hole. Like, that dude is insane.
So I have a group chat with a bunch of my buddies that I grew up with playing basketball, and various people played at different levels. And one of the things that we've been talking about back and forth this season is that, wow, Bam can actually somehow bother Giannis, right? Like, not a full stop, but he can somehow give him challenges because of his size, his athleticism. And then as they were typing that in the group chat, in the first 5 minutes of the game, he does a spin move dunk right on Bam's head. And I was like, oh, except that time, right?
Can I explore what the different various levels are of your friends in this NBA group chat? Because I feel like none of them are NBA.
I didn't say NBA.
Level.
No. I never said NBA group chat.
Various different basketball levels. Does that mean like middle school and like some got to high school?
No. That everybody got to high school, some college, a couple people played, had a cup of coffee in a somewhat pro-am situation, mostly me.
So what does that mean?
Wait a minute, you had a cup of coffee in a pro-am situation?
Yeah, I played a little bit of a pro-am league here in Miami. Wasn't anything too crazy. Kind of rode the pine.
What does that even mean?
I've got a lot of follow-up questions. None of us know what that means. You need to explain to us what a pro-am, like you paid $10 to join a Y? Like, what does that mean, pro-am?
So here in Miami, we had at the JCC down south, there was a very, very good like A-League that had guys like Jason Williams, Carlos Arroyo, Glenn Rice Jr. Like, there was some really big names, Robert Hight, a lot of NFL players. I think Santana Moss played. There was a lot of – and this is probably maybe 10 years ago at this point, but I was brought in on a team that had a lot of good players, and I was basically playing like Duncan Robinson role. But I can say that it was a cup of coffee in a pro-am because there was a lot of pros there with a lot of amateurs. So that's how I kind of...
So it was pros in other sports playing just an amateur basketball league.
It sounds like it was washed up basketball players taking money from like just
they're not washed
weekend
up.
Warriors like you.
They're not washed up.
Well, they're not in the league anymore. So.
Well, they're not in the league, but Carlos Arroyo can give you 40 in any pro-am right now.
Well, in any pro-am,
right,
I mean.
Right now.
You know, he's so right about this. He's the TJ Warren of JCC pro-am basketball. Yes. Carlos Arroyo is. Absolutely. And lest you make fun of the skill level in the JCC, I will tell you that there are some games that break out with those kinds of guys in JCCs. I know this because I've shown up at the JCC and learned about the Sukkot, the Festival of the Harvest, which makes the JCC close on days you're going to one of those games and no one's there because they know that the JCC is closed on the Festival of the Harvest.
You know who still has some juice too? Glenn Rice, G-Money.
is still dominant. Carlos Arroyo will put up 40 on you anytime.
But that's the point.
Great.
But that's the point, Billy. In that league, they're A1. They're great. And there's other guys, too, that didn't get as much notoriety, didn't make it to all these great levels, that'll still put 30 on you in a second. So that's the pro-am. Yeah.
I would love to be like the Enes Kanter of the JCC. I just for one day, I'd like to feel whatever it is that somebody feels where, yes, you can throw it to me in the post and there will be no one who guards me because I'm Glenn Rice.
You just need to look harder. I mean, anyone can be the best at a basketball league if they just look for a league that's bad enough. Just find a bad league.
This is not a bad league. Trust me, this is the best league in Miami.
I have actually had a dream and only made an appearance one time as an adult dominating a T-ball game. Like just against like 6 and 7 year olds, just hitting rockets into, over the white line in the outfield that's 60 feet away. It would be great fun to dominate a sport that way. Did you dominate pole vaulting that way, Billy?
I did not. I've never dominated anything in my life. I mean, high school I was pretty good, but that was the end of that. I was not. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's a state that. What are you doing? Why are we doing this again? I know what you're doing. You hate the Marlins, so you don't want to talk about them. Why do you keep doing this? They're the best team in baseball. You just come in. I don't even think that you want to be in here. I think you want to come in just so we can enjoy the Marlins. Because when the Marlins are bad, you're nowhere to be found. And as soon as the Marlins are good, all of a sudden, oh, guys, I'm going to be here 7 in the morning. I'm going to help you guys out today. Let's talk about something other than the Marlins. Because that seems to be what's going on here. I see what's happening here. I'm following this trend. You're not going to work. This isn't going to work on me, Dan.
Dan, I actually have another story of a washed-up athlete who's not washed up, by the way, playing in a league with me, just so we can pivot from Marlins for a second. Jason Taylor, okay, played in one of these rec leagues, and his team was stacked. I mean, he had ex-NFL guys. He had guys that knew how to play basketball and played at a collegiate level. Your boy had 27 on him and the game winner from the corner as he tried to guard me and flew past me on a pump fake for the game-sealing three.
Oh, wow. I have a huge follow-up here. How does he smell in action? How does he smell when he plays?
Good.
Of course he does, but like fantastic or just like kind of average? Like I need like the spectrum here because he always smells just mwah.
What's between fantastic and average? Because I feel like there's a big gulf there.
I have some follow-up questions there, but I just want to dispute Billy's claim that when the Marlins are bad, I'm never around. Let's think about that sentence for a second because they've been bad the last 20 years, and I keep coming into work. We just don't talk about them because they don't give us any reason to talk unless they're embarrassing. And now you're all fired up about a week,
that's right.
A strong start for a week with a bunch of utility.
Yeah, but it's a shortened season. Dan, we've discussed this. Do you not listen when I speak? We've discussed this. If you get off to a hot start in this season, it's different than any other season because there's only 60 games. There's so many teams making the playoffs this year that you only need to finish in the top two in every division, and then two more teams still make it into the playoffs. Every team in the NL is essentially 500. The Marlins, because of the start, are 5 games over .500. So if they just play .500 the rest of the season against a division that's not good right now, the NL East is not good. Only the Braves are good, right? The Marlins, I don't know what's going on there, if I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how they're doing what
baseball.
They're doing.
Baseball's going on there. Yeah. Random baseball.
But if they can weather this storm and get their players back and they just play .500 the rest of the way, they could make the playoffs. The AL East is not good. Only the Yankees are above .500. And all they're playing is the East. They're playing all teams that are under .500 this year, except for the Braves and the Yankees.
Remember, there's 16.2 and 2.7 after last night's win.
Exactly.
So it's not just 6-1, Dan. Like they're further along in this process than you're giving them credit for. They proved last night that they can win because the first few games of this series with the Orioles, pitchers duels.
The Orioles, by the way, are not bad.
I know.
They came in 5-3, and the Marlins won 4, and now they're under .500 because of the Marlins. But they were 5-3 coming into the series.
I mean,
they're not a bad team.
I basically only know Chris Davis on that team, but other than that, they're a pretty good team.
Chris Davis isn't good.
He's terrible. I feel bad for him. I've never felt so bad for somebody who has a $160 million contract. He's terrible. He's like 1-for-20-something on the season. He looks so sad at the plate. It's like, dude, you have $160 million. Why are you making me sad?
Anthony, you play baseball with Chris Davis?
Oh, my. Yeah, I struck him out once.
Dan, what are you? Are you mocking me feeling bad for him?
No, I'm not mocking you feeling bad for him. He must be miserable making a ton of money and going out there and being perpetually awful. All we know about Chris Davis is that he spent the last 3 years striking out.
It's better than being poor and being awful, honestly, given the choice.
What do you think the conversations are around the Orioles and him? Do you think it's just a thing they can joke about? Like the GM's like, hey, man, you're doing well. Like, I just feel like there has to be these, like, awkwardness, like, where he comes in the dugout and everyone is like, wow, you're making more than we all are combined, and you're terrible. Like, that – I'm trying to, like, think of, like, an example in other workplaces.
That would seem to be an awful position. I know we talk a lot around here about, like, the idea that money doesn't buy happiness, but it helps with some of the down payments toward happiness. But that has to be a miserable experience.
Imagine if I – was the highest paid person on this show. Like, imagine if I was making like $6 million a year and you guys were all making just like little tiny salaries. Like, just picture that. That's what's going on in the Orioles right now.
Oh my God. Billy, get your Marlin on. What did you see last night was delightful? No, just
everything. Well, look, you know what was fun about yesterday? If you look at run differential, they're 5 games over. They're 6-1, right? But they're only +9 in run differential, right? So that's not going to last. They're not going to obviously be an 800-win team the rest of the season. But at the same time, if you look at the National League, there's only 3 teams that are better than them. They're 4th. The Braves are +21. They're good. The Rockies are +24. They're good. The Dodgers are +33. They're good. But everybody else is just, a lot of people are under in the run differential. Padres are +8. The Cubs, who are 10-3, who are also really good, are +7. So they're a bit of a fraud. I'm just excited. And they put up a bunch of runs again yesterday. And that's something that we didn't know that they'd be able to do. The +9 isn't good when they're 5 games over because they're basically winning every game by 1 or 2 runs, right? But they're still figuring out how to win these games. And again, like we keep saying, because the season's so short, every win is so important that if you get off to one of these hot starts, it's great. Now, here's where they're going to get screwed, guys. Listen to me. Listen up, Dan. I know you're listening.
It's tougher. If that's
the schedule gets tougher. They have 5 doubleheaders in a span of like 2 weeks.
If I may, just to interrupt you for a second, because yes. This is the part that I find funny, because I told you guys before that the original Marlins that lost almost 100 games started 30-31. They started well, and what ends up happening in baseball, and you're right about some of this schedule stuff you're talking about, what ends up happening in baseball is once the summer months come and the catcher's tired because he's playing every day in 90-degree heat, and then August comes, the bad teams do get weeded out from the exhaustion of a season. But while you're arguing on behalf of general favorable schedule and that it's 60 games, what I would say to you is the Marlins are going to get exposed when they play 30 games in 3 days. when they play 30 games in 3 days, they're going to start dropping all those doubleheaders by, 8-1 scores once the good teams start playing against them.
No, because what I'm telling you, and you're not listening, is that the East is not that good this year. Everyone is under 500. There is a week, and they're only playing the East. They're only playing the AL and NL East. Now, the Nationals, you would think, would turn it around. The Phillies might, but they haven't so far, and they're fattening up on them right now. The 5 doubleheaders that they have are all against the Nationals and the Phillies. So that's going to be make or break, because that's 10 games right there, which is, what, a sixth of the season in a span of like 2 weeks. But if you get some splits, you're good. All they need to do is keep kind of riding this momentum a little bit, and then they just need to play 500. And then when they get to the playoffs, they'll get exposed, obviously, because then the good teams will show that they're the good teams and that this was kind of like a fluky thing that they just got off to a hot start. But it's fun while it's lasting. So why are we not enjoying this? What team has ever done this, Dan? What team? You're a sports expert. What team has ever lost 18 players? And been the best team in their sport.
A pandemic. This has never happened before. No. You're right. This has never happened. I'm not sure, though, why it is that you're simply neglecting that while the NL East might look bad for a week or two, the AL East doesn't.
Yes, it does. What are you talking about? There's only one team over 500 in the AL East. The AL East is just as bad.
You don't think the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Rays are teams that are a good deal better than the Marlins?
Not so far. Not so far they haven't been.
The Rays is debatable. The Rays is debatable. The other two teams are better. But we only have to play them, what, like 4 games total or something?
Yeah, they have to play them a minimal amount of time. Look, I want to be positive, and you guys want to be negative about the Marlins. And you
the Heat is so good.
The Heat got blown out yesterday, all right, by a team that's clearly better than them. The Heat are going nowhere, all right? Let's do these re-rankings. And by the way, these other teams in the AL East that are so good, Red Sox, minus 10 run differential. Blue Jays, minus 10 run differential. Orioles, minus 10 run differential. And the Orioles are the best of the bunch. They're 5-7. Everybody else is below them, 4-6, 4-8. The Rays are plus 1 right now in run differential. The Yankees are good, plus 14, right? But it's just, you guys are in love with names. You guys are brand name people. You guys are being bougie with your baseball teams, and you're just falling in love with the
names. Billy, you wanted Alex Rodriguez last season. Like, you were the guy saying you wanted all these old names that were terrible.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you're flying.
I'm saying that you guys. No, I'm not. I'm making great points. You guys are not keeping up. I'm running circles around you guys. You guys have slowed down.
You took out the Heat out of nowhere.
All right, hold on.
They didn't get blown out either.
They lost by like 15 points, and they were up by 15. So they were up 30 by 23. Point swing.
They were up by 23.
Okay, and how much did they lose by?
That's not important. That's not important. Okay, there was a lot of fouling at the end.
What is the swing? What is the swing there in terms of points? If they blew a 23-point lead and they lost by like 16, that's like a 40-point difference.
It was alarming how quickly that escalated at the end. It was a very good game until there were 4 minutes left, and then it was not.
No sport makes you feel like an idiot more than basketball. When you're just like, yeah, we got this. High five. We're beating Giannis without Jimmy. And then like an hour later, it is just the complete opposite. Like, no sport makes you feel like an idiot.
No, I'd say football makes you feel like that when Patrick Mahomes is on the other side, asked the Houston Texans, who were up 24-0 in a playoff game, and then all of a sudden lost. What was the final score on that, by the way?
That's fair. Yeah, a lot.
42-24?
I find funny what Billy is saying there, because when he says, you guys are in love with names, that's not actually what's happening with me. What's happening with me and the Marlins is not that I'm falling in love with names elsewhere. It's that I don't know the names of the team that I'm watching that plays for the Marlins. Like,
I'm not talking about names of players. I'm talking about names of teams. You just assume that the Red Sox are going to be good and the Rays are going to be good, and they're not right now. The Red Sox are 4-8 with a minus 10 run differential. They're not that good right now. This is exactly why they expanded the playoffs, by the way, so that the Red Sox can get in. So that teams like that that get off to a slow start can still get in and things will work out at the end. They don't want the Marlins to have a fluke run at the beginning of the season and get in and keep someone like the Phillies out. That's not what baseball wants, right? Like, that would be the worst thing that could happen in baseball, is that if the Marlins get off to a hot start and the Pirates, who are the Pirates, so they're in last place, but like teams like that get off to a good start and then the marquee names like the Dodgers somehow miraculously miss the playoffs or the Yankees or the Red Sox. That's why there's so many teams in, to prevent like the flukes from rising to the top and like weeding out the main teams that they can sell in the playoffs. Because if you have a playoff series that's Marlins against Brewers, no one's going to watch that. You want to have like Braves, Dodgers or something, right? You want to have big names. Mets. If they could get the Mets in there, they would love the Mets being in there because they could get New York. That's why there's so many teams making the playoffs.
I mean, or just because they want more playoff games for the revenue.
Right.
Like, that's what I was thinking. That's the, like, I don't think they're doing it for, you know. Oh,
Billy has a whole conspiracy theory laid out about keeping the bad teams out.
It's not a conspiracy. It's real life. They're doing this for money, right? Dan, can you back me up on this, or you're going to pretend that we don't know?
Well, that's what we said too. We said money too. Like, they're doing it because they want to be able to televise more playoff games, so make more money. Like, I don't think that they're saying like. And I get what you're saying. They want the big markets in there, but that's every season. That's not just in this season.
Yeah, but this season they're in a unique position where a thing like this can happen, which this is more unexpected, I would think, than they thought, obviously, because this team missed a week, has lost 2/3 of the team or more, and they're still doing this somehow. And look, let's be real. This will even itself out, right? They'll come down to earth. They'll lose 5 in a row at some point, and then this fun phase will be done, and maybe they'll sneak in at the bottom of the playoffs, right? You would think, because how can you keep this up? It's not sustainable what they're doing, right? But this is why they did it, because they don't want to have a team like this go in and ruin what would be like, let's say someone was doing this in the AL East, right? Like, let's say that the Orioles did this, or let's say the Rays did this. As fun as it is to say the Rays all are good for baseball, whatever, baseball doesn't want the Rays in there over the Yankees. Like, no way in hell, or the Red Sox.
I can get behind the general theme of what it is that you're saying. Of course, baseball doesn't want it. But don't you believe, given everything that you're saying, and given that plenty of people in our audience like anarchy, given that plenty of people in our audience don't necessarily like baseball, don't you think that if, like, the Phillies got knocked out and it was just anarchy, here is a bunch of guys you do not know that were affected by the virus and had 18 guys out and somehow still managed to play well enough to be the lovable underdog headed into the playoffs, doesn't that become a storyline worth selling? I'm not talking about baseball. I'm talking about audience actually tuning in because they're like, who the hell are these Bad News Bears? Like, we've never seen a team that's this awful in the baseball playoffs or this underregarded in the playoffs. You don't think the lovable underdog thing? I mean, hell, Stugatz 4 games in was saying, who the hell's not rooting for the Marlins if you root for anarchy and you're not particularly a baseball fan?
I would say most years, yes. I think this year, no, just because they got so much negative publicity at the beginning as being the ones that were ruining baseball by getting sick, right? So, like, the Cardinals had an outbreak, obviously not to the same level as the Marlins, but no one talked about that the same way they talked about the Marlins. If the Marlins do this after they got a week off and got all those players sick, when people were saying, oh, the Marlins are sick, just contract the Marlins. Doesn't matter. No one's going to miss the Marlins. Oh, give Marlins losses for all the games. It doesn't matter. You know, they're not going to be in there anyways. I don't know that anyone's going to get behind the Marlins, and I love it.
That's the thing. See, that's the thing. I knew it. Billy is really establishing us against the world. It's just a strange cape to wear, the Marlins cape, after
a
week.
Did you see us dancing in the dugout yesterday after that win?
Yeah.
How was Holly? How was Holly during the game?
Oh, Holly was great. Oh, Dan, Holly was so good. Holly's the best broad. I think, how long do you have to be in broadcasting to make it to the Broadcasting Hall of Fame? Is there one of those? Holly's going to be in. He's going to be a first ballot guy. Yeah. Are there ballots? Holly's getting in. Holly's great.
He's moving up the charts for me as far as just the Marlins broadcasting history. Like, I don't think he's surpassed Tommy Hutton yet in terms of color guy, but I'm trying to think of who besides is – I'm trying to think Holly might be second right now.
Are you guys?
He's better than Tommy Hutton. I said it.
Wow.
Oh, no.
I said it. He's better than Tommy Hutton.
You said it. You said it. How could you say it?
I wanted to make him earn it more. Like, I wanted to, like, let him know
he's close, but I didn't want to give him that.
Wow.
What did Tommy Hutton give us? Let's not do this. Let's not besmirch the good name of Tommy Hutton.
Oh, wait a minute.
What did Tommy Hutton actually do?
Billy, I'll fight for Tommy Hutton here. This is what Tommy
Hutton... Give me Tommy's claim to fame as a Marlins broadcaster.
When the Marlins...
I'm going to get a lot of crap for this
one. When the Marlins are doing well, Holly is great. And Tommy Hutton, when the Marlins were doing well, was great. Yeah. When the Marlins struggle... Hollinsworth just kind of becomes an average broadcaster.
Yeah.
When the Marlins struggle, Tommy Hutton becomes an elite broadcaster. When the Marlins are struggling, Tommy Hutton.
Company man.
Way better than Hollinsworth.
Did I say that? Company man, Tommy Hutton. He just toes
you're not
the line.
Listening to me. Are you listening to the words I'm saying?
I'm listening to words you're saying.
Crush people. Tommy Hutton would crush Haley if he didn't sprint.
No. You think that was crushing. That was not crushing because listen to me. I watched so many seasons of him telling me how amazing Amezaga was. And guess what? I love Amezaga. He was not amazing. All right? There was no amazing Amezaga. That guy hit like 250, okay? That guy was a scrub, if we're going to be real. And I don't know why I'm taking out Alfredo Amezaga, but here's what happens. When you have someone – God, this is dangerous waters. When you have someone who's towing the company line – and then says something slightly outside of the line, you're like, whoa, crazy, outrageous. Oh. I had so many seasons of hearing how Wes Helms was a professional hitter because he would bring the count up to 2-2 and then strike out. Get out of here, professional
hitter. He was great at that. They're all professional hitters. They're getting paid.
I have bad news for you guys. They're all professional hitters. Anthony was a pro-am because he was maybe or maybe not getting paid. Professional just means you're getting paid. Because you take a count to 1-2 and you strike out looking, that's not a great at-bat, all right? Enough of this. Oh, amazing, Cody Ross.
All right, totally fair, Alfredo Amezaga and Wes Helms slander. But I actually thought
– Ross glowed.
I actually thought – Was it Ross Glode or was it Russ Glode? I don't remember.
It was Ross Glode and Donnie Murphy. Don't get me started. Yeah.
Well, here, if you want to just insert what I'm about to say every once in a while with random funny names from that time, please feel free, because I actually thought that Chris Cody made a very good nuanced point, the rare good nuanced point, where he's talking about how much you like broadcasters, but parsing it to when you're winning the game and when you're losing, because Mike Inglis is great at the Heat broadcast.
Yes.
But the worst experience in the history of South Florida is Mike Inglis when the Heat are blowing a lead. Like when the Heat are blowing, it's apocalyptic. When the Heat are blowing a lead, he is filled with rabid fury. I can't imagine how did he sound yesterday when Giannis is doing spin moves from the 3-point line? Like how did he sound describing the death of that game?
Oh, me.
I was watching TNT, so.
Whoa.
And we're back. Billy, I'm not going to let you off the hook on this. I don't get what you're saying. Todd Hollinsworth was saying that this Marlins bullpen that we didn't know any names from the other day was like this great performance, and he was saying that these guys were – like he didn't know any of these guys. He was towing
– It was a great performance. It was a bullpen game. An entire game, they gave up like 2 runs or 1 run.
But it's these guys you've never heard of, and he's like, these guys, don't be surprised if they're making some noise.
I don't understand you guys. Only people you've heard of are capable of being great. I don't get this.
You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You were just crushing Tommy Hutton for calling these no-name guys great, and I'm just telling you Todd Hollinsworth is doing the same thing with this roster.
No. That's not what's happening here, because they were great. These guys were great, and those guys were not great. And I would hear about it
Amezaga
for years.
Had some moments. Amezaga had some moments, Billy. Don't you badmouth Amezaga that much.
Listen to me. You're putting me in this spot that I don't want to be in, because I don't want to be taking shots at Amezaga. Amezaga seems like a lovely man. I saw him 2 or 3 years ago on opening day, just walking the concourse, waiting in line in front of me for a beer. I took a picture with him. I think he was excited because no one else knew that he was Alfredo Amezaga. So that was a great thing. He was a very nice man. All right. I don't want to be taking shots at Tommy Hutton. He's an older fellow. I don't want to be doing this to him. He meant a lot to this organization. He still does. He still does pre- and post-game stuff for the Marlins. Tommy Hutton's fine, but he's no Todd Hollinsworth, all right? That's all I'm saying. And I know that everybody's going to crush me because Tommy Hutton is this, like, sacred calf for the Marlins. I just don't get it. This whole thing about him going after Hanley, he had a personal vendetta against Hanley Ramirez, and everybody knows it, all right? This wasn't something that he was like, oh, I'm gonna hold people accountable. He hated Hanley Ramirez. I'm just going to say it right now. I don't know this for a fact, but this is just on my opinion. I'm reporting exclusively. He did not like Hanley Ramirez. And by the way, Marlins Twitter does not like Hanley Ramirez either, so this is not a popular thing. Nothing gets them angry with me more than any time someone gets hurt. I'm like, bring back Hanley, and they're like, you're an idiot. Hanley Ramirez is remember when Tommy Hutton took Hanley Ramirez, and then Freddie Gonzalez took him out of the game, and then they took him out because he was loafy, and he was running, and then the guy got to third base because he was just jogging after blah, 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 blah. It's like, guys, get over it.
There's the Marlins Twitter.
Is there
Marlins there is.
Twitter? It's been back the last couple of days. Me, Billy, Jeremy, Tache, we have been crushing it.
All three
Twitter
of you?
Yeah, Miss Mambo's in there.
Mm-hmm.
is Craig Mish a god in Marlins Twitter?
Oh yeah.
We don't even
Craig
say
Mish
his name.
Is the best.
We
just Craig Mish was god. Hired by MLB Network. Craig Mish is like an up-and-comer. Well, not up-and-comer. He's there. Craig Mish. All right. Here's the rankings. John Heyman fake reports milk stories. Craig Mish reports legit news. Craig Mish is the guy, and he's plugged in with the Cardinals too. I'm assuming it's a Jupiter thing because it's the same complex, and that's why he knows all these
is John
Cardinals
Heyman,
news.
Is John Heyman the enemy of Marlins Twitter? Like, does Marlins?
We're a loving place. I don't know that there's enemies. Except you've been bringing it on really strong anti-Marlins lately, Dan. I don't know what's going on with you.
Was the coronavirus good for Craig Mish's career?
No.
I mean, he got a job basically with MLB Network because everyone's putting their hands in their heads. Should I cut this from the podcast? Is this inappropriate?
No, we've been. We're going to keep it moving. Don't cut anything from the podcast. The worst stuff in the podcast is still great. I want to marvel specifically at what just happened with Billy, because his allegiances to this team and his emotions around this team are so strong.
Level-headed.
That they make him.
Right down the middle.
Behave in a way that is not consistent with previous Billy behavior. And the reason I'm bringing this up, hold on a second, you will get your say. You have already taken out, okay, a number of sacred calves in what has been 20 minutes of radio so far. Mm-hmm. So didn't you, more than anyone else on this show,
yeah,
A, blame me, and B, feel remorse about the fact that Tony Fiorentino was run out of that Heat job, and you think we were responsible for it, and you think were. I was responsible for it.
Well, you were kind of like an accessory to murder in that case, right? Like, you didn't commit the crime, but you allowed your hooligans to run wild and off him, right? Like, everybody
You're
knew
one
was
of the hooligans.
No, I was not. I was not. I loved Coach. I wish they'd bring Coach back. I'd bring Coach in to do a show with Tommy Hutton, honestly, if you ask me. We'd do like a weekly sports wrap. We'd have Tommy Hutton, the coach, just kind of cutting it up.
That sounds amazing.
What do you think's going on? Maybe we can pitch that to like Channel 4 or something.
Billy, why don't you do it on a mystery crate? Why don't you moderate a discussion between Tony Fiorentino and Tommy Hutton watching what, a Heat game or a Marlins game?
I don't think Tommy Hutton wants to talk to me if this gets back
well,
to
not him. Now. Not yeah, now. Not well. Now. Because I can't believe what you did.
That's what
very
I
Very consistent. That's I've been very I, consistent.
That's what I think was really happening here. Billy's trying to book Todd Hollinsworth. That's what's going on.
Oh, he's never coming on with Dan because Dan's going to be so disrespectful of Todd Hollinsworth. It's not going to happen. He's not going to. You're not going to. Because you're going to get in his head. And you're not going to throw my lovely Todd off his game. You're not going to affect the way Todd's calling these games and criticize him. Todd's doing a perfect job, and I'm not going to let anybody affect my sweet baby boy and how he's doing as a broadcaster. He's doing incredible, and I'm not going to let any naysayers get to him. I'm protecting him from people like you. And in terms of inconsistency, I've been very consistent with these Marlins over the years. And if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. If you love the Marlins, you hate the Marlins because they're so frustrating and they're the worst, but they're the best at the same time.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Todd Hollinsworth Billy's sweet baby boy?
That's not going up.
What do you mean? What do you mean that? Somebody else put it up.
Chris, it's going to be taken out of context.
Somebody else put it up. I covered Todd Hollinsworth as a player, and he was always a very affable meathead. And it sounds like, wait, what do you mean C? What you just did to Tommy Hutton and I'm getting C for just calling him an affable meathead, which I think all of us can agree that on the broadcast, what is he? An affable meathead.
No, he's a voice of an angel. It sounds exactly like the other broadcaster, Paul Severino. Imagine that, huh? Two voices of an angel in the same booth. What are the odds?
So much alike. Wait a minute. Can we talk about this for a second? Are you always sure, or what percentage of the time are you sure that the right person is talking because of how similar they sound?
Now I am because of the things that they say. Like, I know Paul Severino, not going to talk about how many popsicles he had last week.
Right, right.
Not something Paul Severino is going to do. Paul Severino, not going to scream, good take. Paul Severino, not going to say splitty every time there's a split finger. Paul Severino doesn't do certain things that Todd Hollinsworth does. Paul Severino isn't just going to start chuckling. I know that's Todd.
We should probably have Paul on instead of Todd just to talk about Todd. That might be the angle, actually.
That or just have Paul on and not tell people that it's Paul. Tell them that it's Todd and see if anyone notices it, because this seems to be a fatal flaw in any sports broadcast. It's like the one thing you can't have. Two guys who sound exactly alike. I mean, I always marvel in general of the idea of, man, there are a lot of people on Earth. How is it that more of us don't sound alike? How is it that voices are so distinctive? And yet the Marlins have found two that actually have the same DNA imprint on them.
It's a real Jekyll and Hyde situation, right? Like, you have the polished thing. And at certain points, you think, like, are we listening to someone who has like a split personality as an insane? Because like, this person's talking to themselves and saying all kinds of crazy things and then polished at one moment, like all over the place. What's going on? It's like, oh no, there's two guys there.
Dan, are we not sure that this is going to throw back, maybe you and Royal get this, a Phil Henry situation where he's talking and then also doing the color at the same time as the same voice?
Well, this is what you just mentioned is unbelievable now as a viewing experience. And I would encourage everyone who's listening to this to get the Major League package and simply force themselves to watch Marlins game and imagine it the way that Billy is saying, that it's not two people, that it's one insane person talking to himself the entire game. And if you think of it that way, you can feel insane with them. And that's what the Marlins have done to this fan base for 20 years, is make everybody feel totally insane. That's perfect. Like, I would love to have both of them on, but say only one of them's on, and then go swing back and forth between them and see if anyone notices that they're different people.
I think we have just set the podcast record for most times saying Todd Hollinsworth. There has been never a podcast that has said Todd Hollinsworth more than this podcast. We're only in segment two. Like, we still have another segment to go. Let's do this. And we're back. All right, guys. So last night I texted the group that this morning Roy and I were going to race to see who could eat six donuts quicker. It's just a bit that just came to me yesterday. I texted Roy, hey, you want to race eating six donuts? And he's like, sure. So that's how it came up. There's no big debate behind this. There's nothing really, no buildup. And then I woke up this morning in a dark place. What is happening with me psychologically that I like think that I need to entertain people by gorging myself? Like, I'm having a moment here of like, am I unhappy? What is this quarantine doing to me? I had a real moment this morning of like, I'm in a dark place.
Okay.
Turn the lights on.
Help me understand here. I think it's because perhaps your child in very confined quarters continues to get into your workspace and children are making people crazy throughout the land. But that is good content. You and Roy racing on donuts. Are we going to do that? Now, it might be comfort food soaking your depressions, but as long as you could get the applause of the people, it could be medicine for your fatness.
This seems like it's good content, not on an audio medium though, right? Like, if you're doing this, you should definitely do like an Instagram live where you like do a split screen situation so everyone can see both of you. Because if not, you could just be pretending, like, you know, the one Paul Hollinsworth does where he pretends to be Paul Severino and Todd Hollinsworth.
Billy, see, we're one step ahead of you. The actual race between Chris and Roy is going to be recorded and sent out on social media. So you'll be able to see
I was just going to ask because we have suffered recently from, as a lot of people have, from neglect, right? So our show, which is normally on ESPN News and is a real nice compliment, the video is a real nice compliment sometimes because there's a show within a show where you're seeing facial reactions and people are doing things just for television. We can't even get people in Bristol to like show up and change a screen in Bristol because of everything that's happening with the pandemic. So you're telling me someone right now is videoing Zoom and Roy and Chris are going to have this contest right now to see who can eat six donuts faster?
You are. You're supposed to be. They didn't tell you, Dan. You're supposed to be recording this.
All right, yes, we are recording it. We have the video on Zoom and the audio, obviously. Now, the way we're doing this, another terrible suggestion by me, because Roy was like, we should do just six glazed donuts. Sounds practical. I was like, no, we should do three glazed and three jelly, because then strategy comes in. It's like, do you start jelly? Do you finish jelly? So we have three, and like, I regret everything. I'm unhappy.
I feel for you guys. This is going to make you a little sick, I think. I don't know why both of you agreed to it. If you were in a dark place before, I'm pretty sure that sugar and eating too much and just general gluttony will take you to an even darker place than you were already in.
Were you surprised that Chris didn't say he could do that pool thing with the milk on his head the other day? Because I was like, this is right up Chris's lane. He's saying this is fake. He's about to tell us he could swim across a pool with a glass of milk on his head. And I was shocked it never happened. Well,
thank you for bringing that up. Chris, can you also do that for social media? I want you to try that in your father's urine.
I will, actually.
And shampoo-soaked pool. I want you to try and put that up. But how are we doing this in particular? Where is this going to end up? You're just going to put it on social. This has the chance to be messy. This has the chance to be disgusting. Roy, I don't know. Why did you agree to this?
Roy? Let me see Roy's donuts. Yeah. Like, go ahead, Roy.
And are you confident that you're going to win, Roy? Are you a fast eater? Yeah. God almighty. Six donuts sounds like I'm a fat person and six donuts sounds disgusting to me. Like that. And six donuts eating quickly sounds even more disgusting.
Should we audible to three?
What do you guys think? No, you don't want to waste food. You've already gotten them. Yeah.
That's six.
All right, so help me, guys. Who wants to do play-by-play on this for the people who aren't getting the video and are just getting the podcast?
Why don't we do this? Why don't you kind of – I'll cover Chris and Anthony can cover Roy, And you'll kind of check in, like, how's Chris doing over there, Billy? And I'll be like, oh, Chris is scarring down his second round. He's midway through. He switched over to a jelly. Interesting strategy here. I'll be like the carnival barker at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Now, I don't know the strategy. Here's my 6 donuts you can see here. There's 3 glazed, 3 jelly.
There's extra.
There's a box here. There's a dozen.
But did you think that 6 wasn't going to fill you up enough that you
no,
got
No, I have
more?
A family. I have a wife and kids. Okay. And, you know, you can't just order 6 donuts. You don't just order 6 donuts. You do a dozen.
But you got a dozen for 2 other people. So there's another 4 donuts that are going to be
You can't order 9 donuts, Tony, okay? I mean, it's the way you order donuts.
I don't know.
Let me see, Roy, let me see your donuts. Let me see. Let me make sure you got official donuts here.
Right. Oh yeah, they're good.
3-3. All right, Roy. Roy really, six, like a rookie.
Really quick, Roy, before you die, Panthers, huh? They play today. Big game. Your thoughts?
Gotta win.
All right, now ready to go,
Roy. What's your strategy on? Are you going jelly first? Have you decided yet? Like, what's the strategy here?
I'm gonna tell you.
All right, there.
Wow. I like engagementship.
Smart.
All right, Chris. Let's get started here. Go ahead, Billy. What do you got?
Change your angle a little bit, yeah, so we can get a good view of what it is that you're eating. All right, there we go. All right, nice microphone.
Before we get started here, this is very exciting, a lot of dramatic tension. Before we get started, because I know that the jackals and the buzzards might have heard something there the way that I heard it. Tony, did you just make 6 + 4 a dozen?
He did. We just kept
going. No. There's 12, and then I'm giving 2 of them to his wife and daughter, so there's 4 extra that are going to be circulating for Chris this weekend. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were giving 1 each to his daughter. Okay, so you were having him eat 10 donuts. All right, what are the stakes on this particular competition? And I'd like to just pregame interview both of the contestants real quick. Again, I will ask, Roy, why did you agree to this?
I don't know, Dan.
Okay, very good. The kind of insight and introspection we always get from Roy Bellamy. Chris, your idea is just, I want to entertain the people. It will be funny for me to be disgusting. Do you expect to win?
I do, actually. I don't think Roy's taking this that serious. And you know me, even though I just talked about my depression, I really am going to get into this and just go dive headfirst into this. I thought Friday, fun Friday, like, you know, F, you know, fun Friday. And I thought, what's more fun than entertaining you guys by being fat?
Okay.
Fun Fat Friday. Right. Ooh, let's do a fat challenge every Friday. Good idea, Chris.
Next time you, Billy and Anthony.
No.
Welcome to Fun Fat Friday, ladies and gentlemen. We have Tony giving us updates on Roy. We have Billy giving us updates on Chris. We are getting ready to start. The challenge is the following. Who can eat 6 donuts, 3 jelly, 3 glazed, as fast as humanly possible? You guys want to bet on who's going to win? Tony, who do you think is going to win?
I got Roy. That's my boy.
Billy, how about you? Who do you think is going to win?
While Chris could embrace the depression and really eat to kind of put that away, I think that Roy is going to take this one. Chris seems a little overconfident. I notice he's wearing an LSU shirt, which he got because the equipment staff person made fun of him for his shopping cart tape and felt bad. So just trying to paint the picture of what's going on
Thank
here.
You. All right. What is Roy wearing? His perpetually sour face is what
Roy's wearing. He's wearing a Dolphins t-shirt and a blue hat, Dan.
Is that
and
Blue
a jacket.
Jays? Is that Blue Jays? What is that, Roy? I can't see it from the side.
Yeah, Blue Jays minor league affiliate. Mm.
Dunedin? Is that Dunedin?
Yeah.
All right. So
I just want to state for the record, Roy's donuts are out of the shot. So we really need to be – Tony, I need you to keep a close eye on to make sure actually eating all 6. Okay.
I'm watching.
Okay. So I will go to each of you, Billy, and I will go to Tony to get updates for the audience that isn't watching this. Are you guys ready? Is everyone ready?
Ready.
Wait, hold on.
Roy showing the enthusiasm. Why are we waiting for you? You're not doing anything. Roy didn't answer. Okay. We can't even get the start right. 3, 2, 1.
Ooh, Chris is starting with a jelly donut. Wow, 6 or 7 bites. He's half done.
As is Roy. Roy's already got it down the first one. It's going to be tough to
– Oh, man, this is bad.
Chris, just focus on you. Don't watch Roy. Don't worry about what Roy's doing.
Roy didn't get the first one down. He's still chewing and
chewing it.
Yeah, no, yes. But Chris is very casual with this pace. We're 19 seconds in, and Chris is just taking his time.
No,
slow and steady wins the race.
Oh, yes. Chris is done with one donut here. Roy is really struggling. He is chewing mightily. It looks like his jaw hurts. Tony, is Roy even finished with the first donut yet?
He's about 35% done with this donut. Once he gets the rest of it, he's on to the next one. He's doing a full mouth donut, so that way he's not taking time out of biting.
Oh, Chris, stop talking and eat. Chris has switched over to a glazed donut. He did half the donut and then the second half of the first donut, which was a jelly donut. He's now on to, oh, his donut looks like a Pac-Man right now, and he took another bite. All right, halfway done.
I regret this already.
Yeah, it's bad. You should. You both should regret it. You both look a little bit sick. Tony, where is Roy in the proceedings? Because Roy is already struggling.
Roy is struggling. He's about 75% done with the first jelly donut, so we need to pick up the pace donut here. Yeah.
What, you're still on the first donut, Roy?
It's very – I can't chew through it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. My God. Roy might surrender. You might get lucky here, Chris. Chris is almost done with the second one.
Yeah,
Roy, please surrender.
No, you got to finish.
No, you got to finish.
I don't even want them to finish. Like, this seems like a human resources violation. I think both of you are going to get very sick.
Oh, Chris has just put the last piece of the second donut in his mouth.
Roy just finished the first donut, and he is out. I'm waving the towel
surrendered.
For Roy.
Roy surrendered.
You quit?
I'm waving the towel for Roy.
Roy just waved his hand. I can't do this anymore.
One donut?
And he
I'm
got-
actually not feeling well. I wasn't feeling well coming in. My stomach hurts.
All right. So I win.
Chris, no, you got to finish yours, Chris. You got to finish.
And then you got to go. You know what? Just eat all the donuts in the box. Eat the 6 + 4 = 12 donuts.
Double up on those glazed ones and eat those too.
Roy, are you okay, man?
Let's end a segment with no payoff with Roy looking like he's going to cry and in need of an ambulance. Congratulations to Chris Cody. It did not have the payoff we wanted. Chris Cody with the triumphant victory.
It's like a guy getting sick after eating one hot dog on the 4th of July.
It's unbelievable. Like, you thought Roy's most incompetent moment came earlier this week.
Yeah, well, soon, Roy.
Chris was about to start dunking him in the water back there. He was ready for a fight.
Yeah, Roy looks like he's going to puke.
Chris was doing well, though. Chris ate those too quickly. Roy, can we get you anything in the way of healing, perhaps a priest to read last
I mean, he
rites?
Just ate a donut. Let's not, you know.
Look at him.
He looks pretty bad. I don't know what's going on. What was in that donut?
That's shame. That's shame that's covering his face right now. I'm sorry, Roy, if you actually don't feel well.